Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. So we got a guy walking across the United States, and he walks through New Haven and grabs a bite to eat.
Nice.
So what did he like the most? Isaiah Shields, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
So let's start with why. Why would you walk across the United States?
Car broke down.
It's a good question, but the truest answer is it just makes me happy.
Okay.
I enjoy doing it. I like meeting people, seeing new things, learning about stuff.
That's cool. How old are you?
Yeah. I'm 29.
29.
Right.
And clearly not
started
married.
Walking when I was 27.
Exactly right, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Wait.
Are you kidding? Or
wait. You started walking when you were 27?
That's right.
Wow. Your cardio must be right up there.
Right.
Okay. Are you independently wealthy? How do you afford to do all this?
You sponsored or something?
I'm independently frugal, that's for sure. I saved up a little money after I graduated from college for a couple of years, and that's what I use. But for the first year or so, that's about what I used, and then it started doing well enough on social media that now I make a little bit of income.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
It's paperwork. Yes.
That's tremendous.
That's excellent.
What did you do before?
A lot of fun.
I have so many questions. So right. You just
good,
wake up.
On.
You wake up one day. You're 27. You're like, hey, you know what? I like walking around. I like new adventures. I think I'm going to walk across America. Did you have a girlfriend? Did you have your parents? Did you pitch this to them? And what was their reaction?
Yeah, at the time I was newly single, which might have helped a little bit.
Okay,
right.
I'm out of here.
You took a walk, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I told my parents because I had just gotten a new job and bought a house, all the kind of good stuff that you're supposed to do.
Right.
And so when I came home and told them I was thinking about going on a really long walk, potentially for a year or so, it was sort of like coming home and announcing that I didn't want to use my legs anymore or just, you know, something that just made no sense.
Yeah.
And so at first it was a little confusing, but they know how hard-headed I can be, so they were pretty supportive about it.
Had you done anything like this before as a kid?
No.
So it's the first, right? Always a biggie.
Right, so you're not known for doing this kind of thing. And you buy a house, get a new job, and say, I'm going to go for a walk. Oh, that's nice, honey.
It's like a
when will you
song.
Be back?
Yeah.
2025.
Yeah, <that's> right.
It's like the beginning of a Springsteen
like
song.
The next presidency? I don't know.
Right. I don't know. When I get back.
When the Lions win the Super Bowl.
I'll see you when I see you.
Wow, that's incredible. So what do you do with the house? So you put the house on the market?
No, I rented it all out. I built a garage in the backyard to store all my crap in it. And
nice.
Just rented it out to some folks.
There you go.
This is a wild story.
That's awesome.
Where did you begin? What state are you from?
I went to school in Utah. I was what they call an Air Force brat. My dad was in the Air Force. So my whole life, we moved every 4 years or so.
Yeah. We thank your dad for his service.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So you were kind of brought up on different sceneries. So speaks a little bit into what's going on
here.
You're
vagabond. Yes.
All right. So did you start your walk in Utah?
Yeah, from my driveway.
Nice.
From the driveway in Utah.
Right.
That's a massive state. You got a lot of directions you could choose there.
Yeah, seriously, would you bang a left or a right?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
I went left.
You went west.
Yeah.
Okay, is that left or right?
West.
I'm really stuck with that whole thing.
If you're looking at the map, it'd be left.
I can't tell left or right, you know, east, west.
There's no more left in California.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I walked to a place in Washington called Cape Alava. And it's actually the westernmost point of the continental 48 United States.
Wow.
And then I turned around. And ever since then, I've been heading towards the easternmost point, which is in Maine.
Right.
Wow. How long did it take? So 2007. So it took you.
Right. Like most.
How many? I just have too many.
Like
questions.
Most folks commute this morning.
We're talking to Isaiah Shields, who's walking across America, and he's been doing so since 2007.
Wow.
Since I was 27.
Oh, 27.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Difference, yes.
Yeah, so 2 years.
2 years been walking, right.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay.
We were just testing your path.
It just feels like since 2007.
It would feel like that for me.
Sure.
All right. What was the first time during this walk that you thought, maybe this wasn't a great idea?
I think I had just reached Oregon, so I'd been walking for about a month, and I just, for some reason, I had this big feeling of like, man, I am sacrificing a lot just to walk around, and everybody's telling me I'm not doing anything important with my life, and I'm living on the road and sleeping in a tent and sleeping next to trains, and I did have sort of a crisis of what a waste of time. But I think it's just a temporary emotional thing.
Yeah, do you have like a backpack? Sort of realizing. Like a, do you have like a backpack, like a tent and stuff like that on you?
It sounds like it if you sleep in a tent.
Sort of. It actually kind of looks like a stroller. It helps it so you don't have to carry everything on your back.
Okay.
So it's like a little doggy stroller push cart looking thing.
That's brutal.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, if I found the right page, you've taken some beautiful pictures of our state and shared them on your Instagram. It's incredible.
That's this state, really?
Yeah.
This state is beautiful.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a lot of great things about this state.
Right.
I mean, he made New London look incredible.
Yeah.
This post.
How many pairs of shoes you go through so far?
What's that?
How many pairs of shoes you go
How
through
many pairs
so far?
Of shoes? I'm on my pair number 12.
Wow.
You have a sponsor?
Yeah. Unfortunately, no. Yeah. Tell him to hook me up.
There's something for Nike. He's just doing it.
No kidding.
Right?
Worst weather you've encountered so far?
I remember last January it got pretty bad when I was walking through Kansas, Oklahoma, and northern Texas. I think it averaged about 4 degrees at night.
Wow.
So that was pretty bad.
Yeah, everyone thinks of Texas as being a warm state. Northern Texas, not so much.
Yeah.
No, northern Texas is basically just Kansas still. It's very cold.
Okay, so that was the worst weather. So I'm guessing you plan your trip around weather patterns. Like, you don't want to be in Connecticut in December, January, so you got in and out in September.
Yeah, the fall, the best time. Yeah,
exactly right. Yeah. See some leaves and go.
I sort of did what I could. I mean, after I walked to Washington, I was heading east to Maine, right? But when I hit Montana, I turned south to walk all the way down to Texas because of winter. And so by the time I got to Montana, it was around October or so. So I spent the next 3 or 4 months walking as far south as I could.
Wow.
Smart move.
How about any animal encounters?
I did wake up to a bear outside my tent once in Washington. And I was reaching for my bear spray when I fainted because I was just my heart was going too fast, I think.
Wow.
And so, luckily, it just left. I think I did a really good job of playing dead.
You know, in the cartoons, you play dead and then the bear buries you.
Exactly right. Hey, Doc, play dead, won't bother you.
Maybe my tent was too big of an obstacle.
Right.
Isaiah Shields is on. He's walking across America, and he's been doing so since he was 27, 2 years now. Pretty incredible stuff.
I think I'm about 30 miles short of the 8,000-mile mark.
Wow.
You must have, first of all, you must be very thin.
Yeah.
You don't put on a lot of weight, that's for sure.
No. Yeah,
and really strong leg muscles.
Yeah, I don't feel them anymore. I can't remember the last time I felt my legs.
Oh.
I just do what I tell them to do.
Right.
Wow. So you don't even get tired.
On autopilot.
You could walk an entire day. How many hours a day do you walk?
I normally walk as long as there's sunlight. So I'll get going around 8 or 9 in the morning, and I'll stop around 8 or 9 at night.
Okay.
Do you try to avoid major highways?
It kind of depends. I do enjoy the back roads more because they're more scenic and there's a lot more history on them.
Right. Trees to pee up.
But in the western part of the United States, sometimes the only road connecting two towns is the interstate. And you're allowed to walk on the interstate in a lot of states out west. Like in Montana and Idaho and Wyoming, it's not illegal. It's a state-by-state thing. One of the one things that's sort of kind of surprising to people is that in my professional opinion as a walker for the last, 457 days, is that the interstate's probably the safest road to walk on if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
The shoulder's wide, you have your own space, there's a rumble strip protecting you, and there's no real sharp turns because cars are going so fast.
Right.
So the small roads can actually be quite scary because they're just not designed to accommodate pedestrians very
well. That's interesting because I was going to think the opposite, that the highway's more dangerous. They're traveling at such a high rate of speed. Everybody's in their phone now.
Right.
And I got to tell you, walking along the highway, I don't know if you've ever run out of gas or walked down the highway. I know, Isaiah, you have. But it's a really lonely place.
Right. And so much litter.
Because humanity's driving by you at like 90 miles an hour. They don't care about you.
No, you're a blip.
It's really just it's a cold place. Like if you're walking through a town, you're like, oh, there's people. There's a shop. I smell coffee.
Right.
This is just like there's debris on the side of the road. There's trucks going by you. It's like no one cares.
You have any jerk encounters? I mean, you're walking through all a bunch of places. I mean, do you ever have anybody like kind of give you any problems?
Not too much. For some reason, I had a lot of encounters with the police in Louisiana. They were pulling me over 3 times a day, just going, hey, what you doing out here? You're not supposed to be out here. And I would explain to them and tell them about what I was doing, and they would tell me I should be walking somewhere else. And I would show them the laws of Louisiana that said you're allowed to do what I was doing.
Oh.
But other than that, the only other kind of people that give me negative feedback are just, I don't know, people who are probably jealous of the freedom I have or the social media success I get. Right. That's the only sort of negative clapback I get.
How many people do you have following you on social media?
I think my biggest platform is Facebook, which is just coming up on like 80,000.
Oh, wow.
But,
wow. Just from walking.
It was all very sudden. It all just came in the last 3 months or so. Before that, it was mostly just my mom and my dad following me along and a few thousand others.
When does the walk wrap up?
As long as it takes me to get to Maine. So that place I'm headed to is called the West Quaddy Head Lighthouse.
You're close, then.
Easternmost point of the country. Yeah. So I've walked about 8,000 miles, and I've only got a few hundred left.
I would walk 8,000.
Unless at that point I decide to walk
home. When you're done, you got to fly home, you got to walk home.
I really haven't decided. If I'm still in the mood to walk
fly.
And it still sounds like fun, I might just walk home. The biggest issue would probably be weather in Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think take a flight.
Get chilly.
You proved yourself.
Isaiah Shields is walking across the country, and he's been doing it for 2 years. You just walked through Connecticut in September.
That's right.
Yeah, give us a couple of takeaways.
You know, one of the things I really noticed is when I was on, like, the southern part of the United States, which has a real strong reputation for hospitality, people always told me, like, well, enjoy it while you can, because in the Northeast, everybody's going to be, you know, just giving you the cold shoulder. That's just how they're built up there. But I really didn't see that to be the case. I don't know. Most people, I felt like if you give them a wave and a smile and it looks sincere, they still are just good people.
Try driving, but go ahead.
Right. You need to get a finger.
There's a lot of pictures with people who have signs welcoming in. You know, he's got a cup of coffee. Everybody's smiling. It's great, man. It's a really good look for Connecticut.
That's great.
On your social media.
How he fooled them.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I didn't even, like, know it was coming, but I'd walk into a town, like, Guilford, Connecticut, and there'd be a sign in the public park that said, look, welcome to Guilford, Connecticut, Isaiah. We're so happy you're here. And
wow.
That's awesome. Incredible.
Yeah. We love Guilford.
Yeah, Guilford's awesome.
So you walked the shoreline?
For most of it, yeah. I turned once I hit New London, I think, and then I've been walking up, like, Route 12 ever since then.
Oh, that's great. Through, you like, saw the Putnam. Best. You really saw. Well, I mean, Litchfield County Hills and all that's pretty, but, man, you saw, you know, really a good part of Connecticut there, walking the shoreline.
That's another choice you have to make, though, because you can't see every town in every state. You know, at some point you have to choose, well, I'm going to have to avoid the Delaware shoreline and go see this part that maybe no one sees, you know?
Exactly. It's honestly really tough because everywhere has, I think there's beauty to be found in everything if you just look at it the right way. But because of the fact that I'm on foot, I can only hit so many places.
Yeah, you have Isaiah's walking across the country. You have at least 2 potential books. 1, best places to eat.
Yeah.
And then 2, you know, most scenic places to go and see, things to see.
I mean, he's got a photo book right here.
I was going to say,
state by state.
So
even.
That's 3 books.
Yeah.
Like, are you going to do that when you're done?
Yeah, that's actually always been part of the plan, even when I only had a few hundred people that thought what I was doing was cool. I just wanted to, you know, try learning how to write a book. So that's something that's on the docket in the future.
Great. Okay, so you were in New Haven. You ate. What did you like the most?
You know, it's a real toss-up between Louis' Lunch and probably Pepe's. But it's sort of like comparing two different food groups. You know, exactly. I couldn't say if one's the better. What's better, like fried chicken or ice cream? It kind of depends on what you're feeling.
Yeah. Together, they're great, by the way.
So it depends if you're feeling burgers or if you're feeling pizza. But
yeah,
they were both really, really good.
They're both experiences that, you know, are very unique.
Yep.
Very unique.
Yeah, I've really never eaten at a place like Louis Lunch before. I think there was like three seats in there total.
Yep.
But you just sort of squint yourself up against the wall and eat on this little cutting board, and it's awesome.
Oh, what a history. And, you know, depending on who you talk to.
Names written all over the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. So burgers.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
I'm hungry for Louis now.
Seriously.
Yeah. It's never a bad time.
No. Yeah. Always tastes great.
Wow, man, what a cool thing. I thought you were nuts when I first read about you, but now that I talk to you, I'm a little jealous. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty unique experience to just wake up every day in a new place and to just meet new people all the time. I mean, I kind of wish I had like a montage of everywhere my tent has been set up, you know, just on the shores of the Gulf of Mexico to the mountains of Montana to the swamps of Louisiana to, you know, the woods of, now I'm in Rhode Island. But actually a family reached out and let me stay in their mechanic's garage.
Nice.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Cool.
It's just very serendipitous.
What an experience.
Seriously.
What's it like, and then I got to go, what's it like being a dude and not having a relationship, like a physical relationship for 2 years?
With people or with, like, material stuff?
Like, with people.
Yeah, I mean, it can be interesting. I mean, one thing about that's nice about this is I've probably met more people since I've been walking than I had probably in the entirety of my life before that.
Yeah.
Just because you encounter so many people, especially with the advent of social media, they're coming out looking for me. But it can be tough to have most of those relationships be fairly surface level, you know?
Yeah.
You don't really get to dive deep with that many people. But you also get surprisingly powerful, like, experiences. Like, I remember I was walking through Destin, Florida, and someone just went by rollerblading and invited me to her house, and she let me stay there the night. And we just stayed up talking for a really long time.
That's great.
And, you know, it was just two people just getting to know each other. It's just random how that can happen, but there are these really powerful memories that I've had like that, where there's just a lot of vulnerability and you get to really learn someone for some reason that because they just open up to you because they don't feel like you're trying to, you know, they don't feel like you're trying to have an angle.
Yeah.
You're just walking across
and you're going to be gone.
They just tell you about their whole life.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
That's pretty wild. All right. I want to check back in with you. I think this is pretty incredible. And we're going to link up to your social on our social and our website so people can follow you. Isaiah Shields, walking across America, loves Louis, loves Pepe's.
Yep.
Thank you, Isaiah. Appreciate it. Tony Spear is in. He's going to talk about the time a swirling mass was attacking him.
Swirling mass.
Tony Spear, a psychic researcher and son-in-law of the Warrens, director of NEPR.
NESPR.
Yeah, see, you're asking me to spell very
well. RESPECT, find out what that means to me.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, Jazz, I was in England with Ed and Lorraine, and I was at a place called Whitby Abbey. Now, just try to imagine you're at a place on the North Sea of England, and it was in May, and the wind was whipping, and it was about 3 a.m, and freezing cold. Even though it was May, when that air comes off the North Sea, and you're all chilled to the bone, you know. And Ed said to me, I was with Lorraine and with my wife, Judy. He said, go set up your camera over there, Tone, and we're going to take some pictures. Maybe we'll get some psychic phenomena. I'm going to set up my cassette recorder. I said, okay, Ed. Now, this is the first time that I ever went on an investigation with Ed and Lorraine.
Oh.
And it's from 1981.
There's something about England, too.
Just, it was 1981.
It seems more haunted.
And, yes,
it's been around longer.
It's got more history.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the place is called Whitby Abbey. And that's the place that Bram Stoker had the casket land in his novel, Dracula.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
And so these ruins are lit up dimly. There's nobody there. It's pitch black all around except for this one little dim light on the ruins itself, the ruins of the abbey, which was built in like 1400. And I'm setting up my camera. I don't know what to expect. I had a 35-millimeter Canon, and it's on a tripod. So I'm putting it on the tripod. Ed's about, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away. He's fiddling with some cassette recorder that he had. Lorraine and Judy are off somewhere else just standing around freezing. And I'm setting up the camera. I can sense something. It's almost like you know something's there, but...
It's like when you know someone's behind you or staring at you.
Right.
Right.
And you look over and you're like, someone's staring at
me. Hey, and like in a psychic world or in a paranormal realm, you know, you turn around, there's nobody there, right?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, geez, what was this? I thought somebody was there.
Yeah.
But there was something there this time. It was the first encounter I ever had with anything paranormal. When I turned around, all I could see was this swirling black mass, darker than the dark of night. I mean, the night was dark. I could hardly see in front of me.
It was so black, you could see it in the black.
It stood out.
And it was pulsating. It was about 6 feet high, maybe 35, 40 inches away from me, maybe a little more.
That's close.
And I immediately was drained of energy. Like, I could just feel my whole body lose. And it wasn't really just from fright, even I was frightened. It was from something taking my energy away. And I learned later from Ed that a demonic entity or any kind of spirit that's manifesting has to have energies to manifest.
Oh.
And they were drawing my heat energy from my body. That's why I was freezing.
Yeah, so like to a make spirit it, tick.
Like a battery.
And I could just tell this thing was bad. It was demonic.
It's like jumping a battery. Yep.
Yeah. If I see a black swirl and it's taking my energy, I'm not going to think, oh, this is probably good.
Yeah.
Probably
going
to take my energy, clean it up, and give it back to me.
Now I'm going to give it back a brown swirl. A brown mass coming out in a second.
Matter of fact, I can't just see one now, AJ.
Look, apparently it's impervious to that.
The thing is, though, is that I immediately fell down on my knees because of the loss of energy.
Yeah.
I kind of remember yelling out help a couple times. I could just about get it out of my mouth. And then not in a corner of my eye, but I could just sense something coming. It was Ed. And then I could hear the footsteps coming fast. You know, Ed's not a light guy. He wasn't a lightweight guy, but he was running pretty fast
because
his footsteps were coming fast. And then I didn't know it until after what he did. He was sprinkling holy water. He always used to keep it in a safari jacket in a bottle, plastic bottle, holy water. He's sprinkling it towards this thing, and he's yelling, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to leave and go back to where you came from. Sure. Over and over, he's saying that.
That works even with a black cloud?
Because you're commanding it in the name of Christ, which is more powerful than any devil or demon.
That works in road rage, too.
So I'm on the ground. All of a sudden, Eb's grabbing my shoulders like, you all right, kid? You all right, kid? And I'm like, what was that, Ed? What was that? And he says to me, he goes, he saw it too. He goes, that was demonic. That was your first encounter with the demonic realm.
Wow.
And so he picks me up and he's walking me like a baby.
And you're a former cop.
Yeah, right? I just got off the police department. I was off the police department about 6 or 9 months.
I'll unload a few rounds at it.
Yeah.
And, no, but this is not typical of the first trip with your girlfriend's parents.
Yes, no.
No, it was like...
Normally you go camping or go to an amusement park.
Yeah, one night you're too drunk. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You don't encounter a demonic black cloud.
No, this definitely stood out.
So he says, you know what? He says, we're going to pack it up. And we didn't even investigate that night. He says, we're going to pack it up. He goes, I'll bring you to the car. Sit in the back seat.
Oh, wow.
And I sat in the back seat shaking. And the next day when I talked to him, I didn't know it. He said, I saw it too, you know. He said, I saw the mass too. He goes, that's why I was sprinkling holy water and yelling in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, why did it happen to me, Ed? Why did that happen to me?
New guy.
Like, you know, he said to me, he goes, it doesn't want you to help me. It doesn't want you to investigate the paranormal.
Oh.
They want to get rid of you. That's what he said. He goes, but if you're strong enough, you should stick with it. So I did stick with it.
See? Up yours, Greg.
I would have been good.
Yeah.
Like, next, I would just think next time they're going to really step it up.
Yeah, let's have a barbecue. I'll come to that.
It was pretty bad because I couldn't hardly sleep like the next day at all.
Wow.
You know.
Oh, I wouldn't have been able to sleep for a year.
Seriously, right? I would sleep during the day.
Oh,
so, you know, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff at our Paracon, you know, coming up on October 29th.
Yeah, this sounds pretty cool. And you got the Annabelle doll there and all that stuff.
Yeah, we have the real Annabelle doll there.
Right.
Now, I'd like to say that people get a little nervous when we bring the doll out. And, of course, I don't blame them.
Nobody wants that juju on them.
Right, the heebie-jeebies.
We get nervous, too, but we take great precautions.
I get creeped out. Yesterday, I was in line at UPS, and there was a guy in front of me who had a cold.
Right.
Yeah,
he had a green mass around him.
Like, I don't want to be around a possessed doll.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't blame you on that.
I feel like I can't take some Tums and get rid of that one.
Seriously.
So, the thing is, we take great precautions, though. People wonder why we even bring it out. We bring it out to show the evidence. Well, because people say to us, yeah, you tell us all these stories about Annabelle, about the crocodile and the Devil Made Me Do It case, about the satanic idol. Where are these things? And if I said to these people, oh, we threw that away. We put it in a dumpster. We put the Annabelle doll in a dumpster. We buried it. It's
you
like there's no evidence.
Yeah.
It's like they're saying that you're telling us all these stories, but you don't have any evidence.
Right.
And this is also for people who are very, very interested in the paranormal realm. It's like if you were a student of, say you were a student of modern art, and you took a class on modern art, the teacher's not going to just talk about modern art. They're going to show it to you. They may even bring it to, like, the Museum of Modern Art in New York so you can look at the Monet instead of somebody trying to have you visualize what a Monet looks like. So when I talk about the Annabelle doll and the case, people want to see it. They want to actually know what that thing looks like.
Oh, yeah.
And what it did.
I went to your deal last year. It was a huge success. And the people there were from all walks of life or just interested in this. There's something about it that's
very
intriguing.
Yeah. Compelling.
Well, you know,
he's having it at Mohegan Sun. You sold it like this is, you know, like 10 times bigger than it was last year.
Huge.
It's a lot bigger.
Bank employee forged a $65,000 check to buy himself a new BMW.
That's one of the perks of working in a bank, you know.
Yeah, free samples.
Exactly right. I just wanted to test out the money and make sure it worked.
This was a bank employee in Boston forged a $65,000 check to buy himself a new BMW, according to police.
Nice.
Damian Evans, 42, has been charged with embezzlement from a bank, forgery of a check, and uttering a false check.
Wow.
I don't know how you utter a false check.
You said it aloud. False check. I uttered it.
Yeah. I didn't know you couldn't do that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I love that you could take a picture of a check now. You don't even have to go to the bank. You just take a picture of the front and the back.
Yep.
I hate that.
That's gonna
why?
Yeah. I lose track of what checks I deposited and what checks I didn't. And I got checks floating around at the house, and I can't keep track. Just take my check, give me the money.
You got to fold them.
Yeah, but then can I just throw it out? Do I shred it? Do I tear it up into like 5 million pieces?
I keep it just to make sure the money gets in there.
Yeah.
So. All right, here's my system.
I don't have time to go back and look at that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Take my check, give me the money.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what I do is, I do the, deposit on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And then I fold the check.
But where do you put it?
That's my code. When the check is folded,
that means
I've done the deposit.
Nice.
Oh, it's in my office.
Right. Short ways or hot dog?
Actually, does origami?
Fold it in half.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, make a little swan.
I'll do origami.
A crane.
Yeah, a little pterodactyl.
I make it.
Little wings.
What exactly is your system?
Right. We'll make a card house of checks.
Yeah.
There you go.
Each time you have a new layer.
Mm.
Look, there's
but once
October.
I see the funds have cleared, now I don't need the physical evidence that I had a check from this
place. That's what happens then. It goes in the fireplace.
And I'll rip it up.
Right.
Into tiny little pieces.
Many pieces.
And I'll sprinkle some of the pieces in the recycling.
Nice.
And some of the pieces in the garbage.
Wow, you break it up.
So it can never be taped back together.
You break it up.
Does that make me a freak?
No,
too
not at all.
Too much effort.
Not at all, freak. Yeah, no, not at all. No.
Anyone else want to share how they do it?
Yeah, no. I don't write checks.
I go to the bank.
No, do you get checks?
I get checks, yes.
Let's just say you got a check in the mail. What'd you do?
I cash it.
Okay.
Yeah. I go to the bank and I cash it.
All right. Nothing goes in the bank.
No, it goes my pocket.
All right. So you physically, all of your banking, you walk into the bank and you do it there.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Because I like that feeling of someone handing me money for a change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
That's right. You used to get a paper check here until it was absolutely, they were like, we're not doing this anymore.
Right, right. I like that feeling of handing and saying, here's a piece of paper. I want to see a stack of green come my way.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yes, I personally, birthdays, Christmas, things like that, I get a check. I go right to the bank, and I just sit there going, money, 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 money. Yes. Then I blow it on things like bills, but still, at least I had the money in my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At one point, it was yours.
Exactly. At least I touched it.
You touched
it. I touched it.
It's an actual physical thing.
And I smell my fingers.
That's not weird at
the
all.
The smell of money. I love the smell of money. They should make a cologne that smells like money. That'd be cool.
I'm sure they do.
They must.
I'm sure someone has done that.
Call Dior.
I'll just call money. Filthy green stuff.
Phil's Googling it right now.
You know, of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
There is that smell, though.
Yeah. It's a wonderful smell. They should make another one. Those candles smells like apple pie. They should make one that smells like a stack of 50s.
Like the new money.
Oh.
Very particular smell.
Best smell in the world. Like,
I'm always afraid
it's
that
like a pheromone.
When you get a stack of new money, that the bills are going to stick together.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
So I'm doing the worst thing possible. I'm licking my fingers and separating.
Yeah.
And licking my fingers and separating.
Yep.
Well, I'm doing this in the bank. Like, do you get money in the at the drive-thru and then you just, like, drive away? Or do you count it right there in front of you?
I roll up a little bit just so the next car can get in.
That's
and then
right.
I count it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't leave the parking lot, so I make sure. And, yeah, the money sticks together. And the worst part is, like, you go to pay somebody. Like, I paid one time, I guess, $40 instead of $20 for gas. You know, usually the person would go, oh, sorry, you gave me the wrong amount. No, this bastard took off. I gave him a tip. I bought $20 for the gas. I'm like, I'm missing $20. I'm like, that mother effer. Yep.
Well, why would you blame that person? You handed it to him.
Yeah. Well, most people would be honest and say, hey, you know. And in which case, I'd be like, you know what, give me 10. That was nice of you.
Really?
Yeah, I would say, give
you
me 10.
Tipped
then.
Him 10.
I would have given him 10 for being honest, yes. Yeah, keep 10 now because you were not, you said something, you know? Instead, you kept the whole 20, you bastard.
Mm.
Yep.
Well, he kept more being dishonest.
Yeah, he got more.
This is true.
Got a better deal.
Yes, so later on when he goes to God's highlight reel when he dies and he thinks, let's go back to May 12th, you know, 2017. Over here, clearly you had 220s.
Yeah, like that's gonna come up in his highlight reel.
I think it will. They missed nothing.
It depends on how bad this guy was.
Right. God's highlight reel, they missed nothing.
If he was like Hitler, it's not like they're gonna show all these atrocities and then it's like, and then that 20 at the gas station.
Right. Well, you know, it depends.
Doesn't even make the reel.
It depends on how much of a bastard he was. But in this case, I think it would make it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, unless he embezzled something
else. So you're saying
else.
He was a very good guy, and that was the dark spot on his soul.
Exactly, right.
When, that
when,
moment.
Yeah, when you arrive at the pearly gates and they say, you know what, we got a special film for you. Sit down over here. I'm going to give you some popcorn. Mm. And just watch. Let's watch your life. Hang on.
What would be on your life reel?
Nothing, because I keep on handing the money back. They're probably like, you're an idiot.
Oh, no. So, like, saying Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know if it's so much of a big thing anymore.
Okay.
That's the Lord's
name. It's one of the commandments.
Yeah.
There's only 10.
Yeah.
It's one of the rules.
Right.
Not such a big deal because I said so. I did Lent every year.
But I
gave up all the bread.
But I said in a loving way.
I don't think so.
Yes.
Okay. Complaining about people parking.
You called yourself God's other favorite for a very long time.
Exactly. Because you notice every time you do something stupid to me, all of a sudden it comes back at you. This happened to you a million times. You made fun of me all of a sudden. You're like, blah, blah, blah.
That's true.
I keep saying God's other favorite. Don't ever mess with him. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Who's his first favorite?
I'm just saying. So back to the guy with the money.
Probably his own son.
Yep.
Mm. So his son and AJ.
Exactly.
That's yep.
Exactly.
One and then two.
Right.
That's the list.
Right. When I'm walking down the beach by myself, I see two sets of footprints.
So this guy wrote out this check.
Exactly, for BMW.
Right now we're talking about animal encounters, different kind of animal. Animal. 1-877-764-2535. John in Bloomfield.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
When I was a kid, you know, when you go to the parks and stuff and you're playing as
you
a kid.
You know, I normally tell people to talk into the mouthpiece. Can you talk away from the mouthpiece?
Yeah, back up a little bit.
Yeah.
A little hot.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you.
A little bit better?
Yep.
All right, no problem. So when I was a kid, you used to play in the park and everything, and I got chased and attacked by those crazy geese with the horns on them.
Oh.
The devil geese.
Right.
You know what I'm talking?
Yes.
They're freaking mean. They start hissing and going crazy.
I've had dreams where I've taken hedge clippers and just popped their heads right off.
Right.
Now, I know that sounds horrible. It's just a dream.
I saw it on Facebook. Another story I saw on Facebook is a robber. He's getting chased by the police, and he jumps into the water in a pond, and it's all got a whole bunch of crocodiles in it.
Wow.
I think we covered this one. I think we did that.
Yeah.
I just saw it on Facebook. I was going to post it on the Try page. So.
Yeah, I believe we did it in Dumbass News. A guy stole a car. He's being chased by the cops. And he pulls over on a bridge, jumps off the bridge into the water. And there's an alligator's like, look,
hey.
I was just wondering what I was going to have for dinner.
Like DoorDash.
And here it drops out of the sky.
Yep. Right. Thanks, God.
And he died. And like the just ate him.
Yep.
That's what they do. That's all they do.
Yeah.
They just wait and then eat.
That's how they eat.
But it's like having a pizza dropped right in front of
you. Like a chicken nugget just fall out of the... Oh, thank you!
I wouldn't mind a pizza from me right now.
I was just hungry, wondering where I was going to eat.
What should I have for dinner tonight? Yeah. Oh, some Italian.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
There you go.
So much.
Be very specific.
It's a horrible thing. Can you imagine dying that way, like being eaten by an alligator or a crocodile?
No. Yes.
No.
Yeah, I'm good.
No.
Yeah, I'm good.
No.
That's what he said.
Oh, it's just a brutal. You don't want to be food.
No.
Are they the only things that eat people? Well, no. Lions. Sharks.
Right, lions. Yeah. Lions do.
There's a number of things on the planet that will eat us.
Right,
because we are food.
Yes, we are. We're just as edible as, you know, the other ones.
It's funny because we walk around with this swagger, and then when you see animals, they kind of scurry off.
Yeah.
Because they're food.
Yeah.
They're walking food.
Exactly, right.
We talked to the guy who got attacked by the hippo.
Yeah.
Those get nasty.
Yeah, who'd think? They see a hungry, hungry hippo, they mean it.
No, my theory is that's why people in Kenya always win marathons over here, because they're basically food over there. So they run fast.
You got to run. If you're running to the store, you
have to outrun things that may eat me.
Right. Yeah. You want to be healthy. Right. You want to have a good time.
Right. Plus also, you know, you want to be really thin, so it's not that much meat on you. You're not as appetizing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, these Kenyan runners, they're running against people who are, like Phil said, you're out there for your health.
Yep. They're literally for their health.
They're running... To save their lives.
Right. To keep their health.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Exactly.
Steve in New Britain. You're the last one in real quick, brother.
Hi.
Hi.
When I was about 5 years old, we had a baby raccoon come into the garage, and we left the garage door open hoping he would leave.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up staying for about 2 years.
There you go. Had a friend like that.
So we had a pet we had a pet raccoon for about 2 years.
There you go. They're cool.
Little Harvey.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
We would let him out at night and let him in the morning.
Right. All right. See you later, Harvey.
As I was prepping for this segment, I saw a video of a raccoon who came accustomed to eating out of the cat's bowl on the porch of a lady.
They'll share, yeah.
And it got into this routine where it would grab, when the bowl was empty and it was hungry, it would grab a tiny rock and go up against the glass sliders.
Uh-huh.
And tink, tink, tink.
And she videotaped
hungry.
It. It is the cutest.
Dinner service.
Most hysterical thing. And she has this, like, line of scratches across the glass from the raccoon.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, I'm hungry. Please feed me.
Exactly.
I'm hungry. Please feed me.
Thank you. Very polite.
All right, brother. You're in the running. Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now. And please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.